Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our loving Savior Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In Mark chapter 4, we find our Lord on a boat. And yet, what we're going to talk about is how Jesus will end up being thrown under a bus. And yes, I know, buses weren't invented yet. People frequently protest their innocence by accusing others of wrongdoing. Similarly, they preserve their reputation by often rooting the reputation of others. This is kind of what we mean when we talk about throwing someone under the bus, metaphorically, of course. In today's gospel, his disciples blame Jesus when things are going wrong. They throw Jesus under the bus, thinking that Jesus really should have been out in front on this weather threat instead of sleeping in the back of the boat. Because Jesus didn't respond to their peril with enough urgency to suit them, they wrongly accused Jesus of not caring about what happened to them. They were having serious doubts about the Lord's true care and concern for their personal safety. You and I do the very same thing from time to time when God does not rescue us from our problems immediately, or at least not soon enough, or in the way that we would expect of Him. When the Lord doesn't deliver us right away in a time of great personal crisis, it's pretty easy to throw God under the bus for not responding more quickly to our concerns. Meanwhile, forgetting that the Lord has only loving intentions towards His people, we sometimes do the same as the disciples, and we jump to the distrustful conclusion that the Lord does not care about us. We often act as if God owes it to us to rescue us promptly from every problem and on our timetable. And we are all too quick to indict God on charges of evil if He doesn't immediately do everything we ask of Him or think that He should. And so we all need reminded of this, that God's timing in our lives is perfect. Years ago, we received as a wedding present a clock with that little saying printed on the front of it. And while you won't find that exact saying anywhere in the Bible, when we encourage others to believe that God's timing is perfect, it does reflect true biblical wisdom. Since God's timing is perfect, we should not expect God to set His clock by our clock. We would all do well to remember that God does all things well and at the right time. God has perfect timing. Sometimes we see and acknowledge God's perfect timing in our lives. It's easy sometimes. At other times we cannot see it. And in those times we simply need to know it by faith. For faith calls us to reset all of our earthly expectations by God's clock. It's human arrogance to imagine that God should do things our way or accomplish His purposes when and where we want them done. There is often a significant delay between our asking in prayer and God's answering of our prayers. And here's where faith comes into play. As we believe that God will deliver us even before He actually does deliver us. I once took my son Peter on a fishing trip for striped bass, stripers, on Kentucky Lake. And what was really strange about that trip is that when we got to our motel, we found out that we were in the central time zone, but the boat that we were chartering the next day was docked in the eastern time zone, even though the motel and the marina were just a few short blocks away. The boat captain reminded us the night before to adjust our clocks accordingly so that the alarm would wake us up the next morning on marina time instead of motel time. We might have missed the boat otherwise. Well, when the storm hit, the disciples were obviously not operating on Jesus' time. If they had been, they would have realized that the storm was continuing in Jesus' time zone so that they would have the opportunity to respond to the storm in true faith. But because they had not set their expectations to the Lord's timing, they blamed the Lord for not saving them from the storm fast enough. Jesus slept peacefully in the back of that boat. He did so because it was not the right time to stop the storm as it tracked across the Sea of Galilee. It was the time to test the disciples' faith. The storm raged on for this hidden and holy purpose known only to Jesus. The windstorm was so intense, however, that huge waves were breaking over into the boat so that it was in imminent danger of sinking. Everything the disciples were seeing out in the Sea of Galilee convinced them that all was lost. And yet, faith would have called them to trust in the Lord and in his protection, even in this dire situation. They were meant to see by faith that since Jesus is the Lord, he also has the power to command both wind and waves to obey him. What the storm revealed was that the disciples were still not living by faith. They still doubted Jesus. They didn't see that the Son of God was on that boat beside them. And he was going to do far more than save them from a single threatening storm. No, Jesus was going to lay down his life for their sins in exchange not only for their earthly security, but for their eternal security. Just as I took my son fishing, so my father also took me fishing many times when I was growing up. It was that one thing that we shared in common. When I was a boy, we would often fish some of the bigger lakes in Texas on my dad's bass boat, one of the first bass boats ever built. Toledo Bend is a huge reservoir that runs half the length of the border between Texas and Louisiana. And as a kid, when we were on that giant, sprawling lake, well, it seemed like an ocean to me. As we would run down the lake with the throttle wide open, I felt perfectly safe. You see, I took my cues from my father. Even if the lake conditions were rough and choppy, if my dad didn't seem concerned about those conditions, then I knew I had no reason to be concerned. I had that kind of faith and confidence in my dad, in his good judgment, in his boat handling skills, and especially in his desire to protect me from unnecessary risks. In a much, much bigger way, the disciples should have taken their cues from Jesus, whether or not they were in any real danger. If he was in back of the boat, sleeping peacefully and unconcerned, then why should they be worried? By the way, Jesus wasn't doing anything wrong by snoozing. In fact, Jesus was doing everything right. As a true man, according to his human nature, Jesus was actually, by sleeping, showing his perfect trust in his God and Father. By being able to sleep through this storm of hurricane magnitude, by such complete trust in God, Jesus was making up for our very imperfect reliance upon him. You see, Jesus lived a perfect life of perfect trust in God as we see demonstrated here. And then that becomes attributed to us in our baptism. It's as if Jesus' perfect trust and perfected life were actually the life that you and I had lived. This perfect life that Jesus lived on our behalf and transfers to us in baptism covers over our multitude of sinful imperfections. And so it wasn't his lack of concern for his disciples that was causing him to sleep so soundly. Rather, Jesus remained asleep on these rough seas because Jesus was living the life of every man. The life we were supposed to live, a life of confidence and total trust in God. And he was doing it for the eternal benefit of his disciples and of us. Taking their cue from Jesus as he slept so peacefully in the back of the boat should have settled their fears and assured their faith. Now, I sometimes say to myself, you know, these guys, these disciples, they were horrible for not trusting Jesus. But then I turn around and I think, wait a minute. Don't I do the very same thing? Don't I also have this propensity to throw God under the bus when he doesn't do something in my life that I think he should do? Whenever I'm worried about something in my life and God doesn't resolve my problems soon enough, I sulk as if God had somehow let me down. In my heart, I murmur and I complain by saying, Lord, why haven't you answered my prayers by rescuing me yet? If you love me, then show me. Why are you so unresponsive, God? Are you asleep in the back of the boat? What do I have to do before you will intervene in my life and lift these burdens off of me? The Lord promises to work everything for good that happens in our lives so that it has a positive eternal outcome. But the Lord never promises that it will be a quick or an easy process. More often, God leaves us in very difficult situations, and you know this, much longer than you and I would prefer. But God doesn't do this to hurt us or because he lacks concern for us, but to test our faith in a way that challenges our faith to grow and that would make our reliance upon Christ all the stronger. But if we expect God to remove our crosses instantaneously, then anything less on God's part is going to feel, at least, like God has failed us. Perhaps the worst thing that we can do to offend God is to break God's commandments and then turn around and blame God for not removing the painful consequences that our sins have created. Consider the teenage girl who engages in premarital sex and then blames God for ruining her life by allowing her to get pregnant. Or the man who smoked for over 40 years and then gets angry at God when his doctor tells him he has lung cancer. Or how about those disciples on board that boat out on the Sea of Galilee who blamed Jesus for not caring about them, even while he was attempting to bestow eternal life upon them by teaching them to walk by faith and not by sight. My friends, throwing anyone under the bus is easy, but throwing God under the bus is not something that proceeds from faith. Rather, it reveals our inborn distrust of God, a mistrust that clings to us even after baptism. Doubting God's innocence or questioning God's integrity are our horrific sins that send people to hell unless those people repent. And yet we accuse God of evil anytime we doubt his gospel intentions, his true intentions to save us through his Son. If God disappoints us, I can guarantee that it's really we who are disappointing God. The unbelieving world even takes this a step further and accuses the God of Christianity for every sin imaginable. I hear out in society God being thrown under the bus by all kinds of sins. Unbelievers will often say they can't believe in a God who would allow war and crime and poverty and disease and bigotry and the like. And yet at the same time, they say that they could not believe in any God who could condemn sinners and punish sin. God really can't win under this scenario, for God will either be blamed for punishing sin and sinners, or else God will be blamed for not punishing sin and sinners. We too often ask, if God truly loves me, then why hasn't he removed this pain in my life instead of allowing me to continue to suffer? If you're ever tempted to ask, why is God allowing me to suffer? Perhaps a better question would be, and a more humble answer would be, why not? The things that the Lord gives to us, aren't they his to take away from us? This doesn't make God evil. This just makes God, God. What makes us think that God should live up to our expectation and jump through all of our hoops? Don't we have that backwards? Aren't we the ones who are answerable to God? Sinners throw God under the bus so easily by asking such questions as, why doesn't God do what I want God to do when I want him to do it? The disciples asked Jesus when they woke him, saying, don't you care that we're perishing? This question reveals great pride, for it implies that they thought they were worth saving. They weren't, and neither are we. And yet our Lord Jesus refused to throw us under the bus, even though we deserve it more than anyone. For we, along with the rest of humanity, we are the ones responsible for all the sin that we see in the world, not God. But here's the amazing gospel message. This amazing thing that God actually came up with, a plan to throw himself under the bus, so to speak, by taking our place on the cross and receiving the punishment that you and I deserved. Usually, we resent those who attempt to throw us under the bus because we know what they're doing. They're sacrificing us in order to spare themselves. But in our Lord's case, it was different. Quite intentionally, he threw himself under the bus for all of our sins and for all those times that we are too easily and too readily influenced to throw God under the bus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.